Let's pray, and then we only have really one side of notes. The other side is just an outline passage, but we'll talk about that. So let's pray. Lord, help us as we study your word to study it, rightly divide your word, and then, Lord, to wholly believe it and to practice it. Thank you for the privilege of being able to study your word with these brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we pray, Lord, that this would be a beneficial time for everyone here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I was wrestling with what to cover, you know, to kind of finish this out. So I thought I'd wrestle a little bit with, we talked last week about the essential need of accuracy and clarity in sharing the gospel. If it's unclear or inaccurate, at the very least, you're confusing people and you can condemn people. Why do I say that? Go ahead. Okay, well, yeah, and sometimes inaccurate information might complicate things, but it might not keep them out of heaven. Like, for instance, I use the example of people asking Jesus into your heart. You're not saved by asking people into your heart, asking Jesus into your heart. It doesn't necessarily keep you from being saved, but it certainly does not save you. But if somebody, without a clear knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done, goes through those motions, and we tell them, hey, you're saved because you said these words, we've given them a false hope. We've given them a confirmation that the Bible does not give. Okay? So that's the idea. We need to have a clear and accurate gospel. And that's the danger. I told you last week about a young man. I remember his face, but I don't remember his name. But I remember talking about the gospel with him, and he mentioned going forward in church and saying a prayer. And so, yeah, I'd done that before. You know, without any real understanding of who Jesus is or what he's done. And that, to me, is very dangerous because it has wide impact, too, with who attends church, who comes to church, people that don't know the Lord. Now, they might get saved. They might have believed before they said the prayer, but the prayer complicates things. You know, it keeps people from, they're thinking it's something they said, or, you know, because they said these words, almost like a rosary or something. And it can give false hope. And it can actually give, it might, well-intended, but the wrong information to put them in the wrong way. We're going to talk at the very end of this series about why there's so much confusion. We got a study on that. This is actually excerpted, this study, and the ones we'll do here and out from the Nuts and Bolts of Salvation series that I taught, I believe, on a Wednesday night for like a year. So these are just some, I had 26 lessons, I think, on the whole thing. So maybe it was a half a year. But it had to do that we covered the five fingers. What does it take to be saved? But also, what does it not take to be saved? And we listed a whole list of things that sometimes people rest their eternal salvation on. Okay, we're not going into detail on that. But what we want to do today is clarify what it means to believe. What does it mean to have faith? And that's what this study is. And hopefully it'll make sense. But it'll also make sense when we cover the idea of why is there so much confusion. Okay? Someday I'll find it, but I have a track that gives, it's just a sheet of paper about a little bit smaller than a 3x5 card, but maybe a little longer. And on both sides, it's a vertical written track, and it gives like one or two sentences, but there's 14 verbs in it. Believe and repent and trust and all these things. And they list them as each one is like a separate requirement. And you can see why people get the confusion that there is by such writings. What we want to look at today is explain not the confusion part, but to clarify what is true, okay? So faith, what does it mean to believe? Now we have two main points here, and the second one will define things a little bit. But number one, two words in English are the same word. Two words in English, and you could probably even add others, but two biblical words. Two words in English are the same word, and I might add, in Greek. And that confuses people. Those two words are faith and belief. And I put an equal sign here because faith and belief are the same thing. And when I read tracts that say you need to have faith and believe or do this as a separate step, how can people not be confused? Because the Bible teaches something very clear and people make it unclear by what they say. So, two words in English are the same word in Greek. Faith and belief. If some, and I would guess, and I didn't want to sucker punch you or whatever today, but in some circles you could say, okay, give me a definition for faith, and they blah, 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 give me a definition. And then I'd say, give me a definition for belief, and they give me something different. Well, two English words kind of implies that, but the Greek does not. They're identical. Sometimes the translators use faith, sometimes they use belief, but they're translating the same word. Okay? And that's part of the confusion that we'll explain in probably 3 weeks out here. Okay? Here's my paragraph here. Whatever belief or believe, there's the noun and the verb forms, right? Belief is noun, believe is the verb form, and faith or have faith in, that would be the verb rendition or rendering of the word faith. Whatever they mean, belief and faith, they are identical. They mean they're translating the same word. They mean the same thing. These are English synonyms used to translate the same Greek word. And you have to understand that. Otherwise, all of a sudden, well, do you have faith and did you believe or whatever? That adds to confusion. Now, I'm just going to give you the three Greek words so you understand. There's three Greek words that are different forms of the same word, okay? And they're translated, and we'll, I have the meanings for them here. But the verb, a verb is an action word, right? If you think way back, some of us think in words a lot, and others, we haven't had this since we were in elementary school. Okay, so I understand that. So please don't be offended if I summarize what the word means. Verb is an action form. So to believe is of the verb, right? Believe, that would be a verb. But the verb that's translated several different ways is P-I-S-T, and you'll see that in each one of these words, pistuo. And that means to believe. You can translate it to believe. Or what do I have? I want to do it in... Okay, I did them in out of order. To trust. To have faith. You can translate it each of these ways, and maybe you have a preference, but regardless, these all mean the same thing when it comes to translating the Greek word. Now, I know there's different contexts, but still, they translate the same thing, and we'll even show you sometimes they alternate within the same passage, and that's even more confusing. Okay? So the verb, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be a verb. Or you could have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could use those words, yet regardless of how you do it, when you see them listed, you have to understand that those mean the same thing. They're not, each one is not a separate step. You don't believe and have faith and trust. They all mean the same thing. It's one step. Different words explain one step. There's also the noun form, and you'll see this again too, P-I-S-T, and then it's I-S. Pistis, okay? That's the noun form. And you can see the root part of it, P-I-S-T, is the same in every word we'll see. And this is translated belief or faith or trust. Okay? And they mean the same thing. That they translate the same thing. Now, maybe faith might have a different meaning in English. Okay, you can probably list other meanings. But when you're translating the same word, you can use either belief or faith, but whatever it is, it's still talking about the same thing and it means the same thing. Okay? That confuses people. To have faith in is the same thing as to have belief in something or to believe in something. And we have to understand that, otherwise confusion is there. Now there's also an adjective. What's an adjective do? Yeah, describe something, okay? This is P-I-S-T again. It's the same root word. This is pistos. Okay, and you don't really have to remember these so much as I'm just showing you. They all are related in Greek, just like in English. If you were to describe something, how would you use believe in an adjective form? Any idea? Okay. Faithful, right? Did you say believable? Isn't that, what is that, with or without it? Believable, faithful, or trustworthy, right? Those are adjectival forms. They describe something. So if he's a faithful steward, he's a believable steward or a trustworthy steward as well, okay? See how those, they're interchangeable. Now again, in English, maybe you could define these slightly different, but understand if you see different words in Scripture, they're likely pointing to the same Greek word in those, so therefore you can't say something different about them. It means to believe. I mean, yeah, no, that's the root form of to believe or to have to trust or have faith. And then it depends on what the ending is. Is it a verb? Is it a noun? Or is it an adjective? So these all have, they're all from the same family, the word family. And so then you just have to translate them. How do they look in English? Okay? So the problem I have is that people see this faith, the word faith, different than they see the word belief. Okay? They see the word believe different than trust or have faith. And honestly, pick up some tracts, and you can almost pick up any tracts, and they will use these as if they mean something different. So then you end up with different steps. Okay? You end up having... I've seen tracts that they use the ABC. Three steps, okay? Accept. What's the next one? Confess, okay? Even this is confusing, okay? Number one, what did Paul and Silas tell the Philippian jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Was his question. What was the answer? Ah, we have it. ABCs. Okay, what did he say? Yeah, he said believe. Well, where does accept come from? John 1:12. But as many as received him or accepted him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. So accept means believe. So that's one step. And then confess is a confusion with primarily, it could be 1 John 1:9, which believe it or not, I've had theology professors teaching that as a basis for salvation, which it's totally not. Or Romans 10:9, but if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, what does confession mean? We've talked about it before, but homologeo, it means to say the same thing. It goes back to the same thing again. Ultimately, you're believing what God says, okay? But it confuses people, and so instead of having one step, they end up with three or five. And again, you compare most any tract. Pick up two random tracts, because most tracts are confused this way. But you pick up any two tracks, and one will have two steps, one will have five, one will have three, one will have four. This one will tell you to say this prayer. This one doesn't have a prayer at all. This one has a prayer, but this prayer is different than this one. How do you get to heaven? Well, I would have a tendency to believe what the Bible says rather than any tract that is written. And it's hard to find good tracts. It is. And I think tracts are excellent, but they have to be accurate tracts or they're dangerous again. Or confusing. Questions on this? Two words in English mean the same thing. Go ahead. Yes, I do, and in fact, that's my summary paragraph in this point. If you look in your notes, right below those three words that you wrote down, this is my editorial comment on this, okay? It would be most consistent and less confusing if all three words were translated with different forms of the same English word, rather than with different words, i.e. use believe, belief, and believable, or use faith to have faith and faithful, or whatever consistently. Now, they haven't done that, so what I do when I'm reading the Scriptures, and you'll hear me sometimes when I'm reading the Bible from the pulpit, I'll come across, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And what does that mean? And I'll have people say belief. Okay, so then I move on, so that they understand that we're talking about the same thing. So you're not going to be able to avoid it completely, but you can certainly clarify it as you go. Like, if I were to quote that from someone in a tract that people didn't understand, I would probably put belief in brackets or something behind it to clarify. Okay? So that they can understand what we're talking about here. So when I translate, I'm much more consistent that way on a lot of terms, not just this one, because it can confuses things. And again, that doesn't mean that there aren't, what's the word I'm looking for? Shades of meaning in different words. Okay? That you can have faith in a person as opposed to have faith in a God. Okay? And so there's different ideas. And we'll see that even as the Bible talks about Abraham here in a minute. Okay? So words only have meaning when they're used in a context. Like I say, what does faith mean? And you would tell me one definition. Well, I said, I went to faith for 4 years of school. Oh, that changes the meaning, because faith is a college. You know, you understand what I'm saying? The context determines the meaning of a word. What is faith? Well, that happens to be the middle name of Deborah, my daughter. Okay? It still has a meaning. But I'm saying the context determines the meaning of the word, ultimately how it's used. Okay? It's also thrown around. Politicians will say, I have faith. That's an incomplete sentence. You have to have faith in something. So you would say, okay, what do you have faith in? What do you believe? Okay? People rest on their faith. Well, that doesn't, faith does nothing unless what you're believing in supports that. It's like walking on thin ice. It says danger, thin ice, and you walk out on the thin ice because you have faith that it'll hold. It doesn't change the thin ice, right? It's still thin and you still fall in. Well, I believe. Well, you're believing in something that can't support what you believe in. Okay? All right. Other questions or comments on number one here? Okay. I like the Bible to define the Bible as much as possible. So I go to my favorite passage. If I had to pick one chapter in all the Bible, it would be Romans 4. And there's a lot, because I struggled with my salvation because of confusing explanations. Even as a young adult, I wrestled with this in detail. You know, like, did you, I had evangelists, I remember sitting in pews, and evangelists say, did you mean what you said when you prayed? And did you pray the right things? And all of a sudden, it's like, I don't remember what I ate yesterday, and you're asking me to remember what I felt or believed or said when I was five? And then I start reading, and it's like, the Bible doesn't even ask you to do that. The Bible doesn't even tell you that your salvation is not based upon those how you felt or all of these things. It's based upon what Jesus has done and whether you believe in it or not. Bottom line, okay? Okay, look on the back side of your notes because that's the text I'm going to read out of. You will see the different appearances of the word pistos, pistis, and pistuo. I've written those beside each word, okay? I'm going to read these and you'll see I've underlined the occurrences and all, and they're talking about the same thing. And I've given you the Greek word that goes with it, so you can tell if it's a noun. Most of them are nouns, I think. And then, or a verb. I don't see any adjectives in here, okay? But just those two. So, starting with verse 16, I love the whole chapter, but we don't have time for that right now. Let me read this. And it's talking about Abraham. Okay? Therefore, it is of faith or English word, belief. That's my chosen word. You can pick your own. But therefore, it is of faith, pistis, or belief is what I use as an English word, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, Jews, but also those who are of the faith, pistis, of Abraham. Okay? Or belief of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed. Now, you instead of saying in whom he had faith, it switches to believe here. And it's pistuo. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Okay, there's the second time it's stated there. And give me a little bit of his circumstance. Abraham was old. Oh, it'll come up. Never mind. I'll keep reading here. Who, contrary to hope, old guy, impossible to have children, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, like the stars, like the sand. Remember the promises of God. And notice here, verse 19, and not being weak in faith or belief, again, it switches to the noun form, and understand, he's still talking about that believing that took place. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now understand, what's the context here now? Abraham's almost 100. He can't produce children anymore. Sarah is almost 90. She cannot produce children anymore either. But God said, so shall your seed be. I'm going to give you a son. And I don't know if you recall their response. More than once, in different ways. But one time when the pre-incarnate Jesus came with two other men before they destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, no, this time, by this time next year, Sarah will bear a son. And he's like, you know, that was good, you know, that was a real good joke, you know. And then Sarah laughed too, right? And that's why they called their son Laughter, right? Isaac, okay? Here's God's joke right here, right? This is good. But they did not consider their own bodies. Why? Keep reading here. He did not waver at the, what? Promise of God through. Now notice this is slightly different. This is pistis, the noun, with an A in front of it. Now pistis, they've been translating faith. An A in front of a Greek word usually is the opposite. So like if you have a theist, that's someone who believes in God. You put an A in front of it, it's someone who doesn't believe in God, known as an atheist, okay? Pistis is belief, an A in front of it is unbelief. They were using faith, but there's no such thing as unfaith. So yeah, they had to use faith here, or belief rather. I don't know why they chose to be inconsistent in that way, but they did. Okay, to me it just lends to confusion. That's part of the translator's philosophy or whatever, but to me consistency is good there. But notice, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith or belief, okay? Giving glory to God and being fully convinced. And notice here that what he, that's capital he, that's a translator's addition, but he's referring to God, okay? What God had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Anyone know where that first shows up? I mean, a lot of people say, a lot of covenant theologians, I won't go into what that means, but they say all the people that believe the way you do believed in work salvation, and now you believe in salvation by faith. That's like, not on our watch. Genesis 15, 6 says, Abraham, look up, as the stars are, so will your descendants be. And the Bible says Abraham believed God. He didn't go to church. He didn't give money. He didn't ask Jesus into his heart. He didn't do all these other... He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was saved by faith or belief in Genesis 15. We're not changing tunes here. It's always, always, always been that way. Salvation has always been based upon something God has said and our belief in it. We'll talk more about it here shortly when we flip back over. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, that righteousness was charged to his account in a good way, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who what? Believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. What does it take to be saved? Righteousness of God is imputed to you as well, those of you that believe in him who raised up Jesus from the dead. How many steps? Count them again. One. Still one. There's just one step. Okay? Now, flip your sheets back over. Now, we're going to look at verses 20 and 21 in a little more detail. I'll read them again. He, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith or belief, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. To me, that's the biblical definition of faith or belief. It involves two things, and we'll break down the second one in a little more detail. The first one, this is the definition. I'll just put this here so I don't confuse you. The definition involves two things. God's promise or announcement. And I'll put it this way. I use the word claim. God claims something. He says, Abraham, look up. I know you don't have any children right now, but look up. As the stars are in heaven, so shall your descendants be. Okay? God's promise. What he had promised. Biblical faith or belief, and I'm reading out of your notes now, requires a legitimate promise of God. Now, why do I say legitimate? Illegitimate or inaccurate or false, right? People sometimes believe in things that God has never promised. I think Marie Osmond put it concise. I beg your pardon. God never promised you. Not quite. You know what I'm saying? Well, you're believing in something, but God never promised you that. Okay? So, you can believe in something like thin ice, but that doesn't make it true. Your faith does not determine what is true. Does that make sense? You can believe in something that's not true. You know, Easter Bunny, Santa, you go on and on and on. Or honest politicians or whatever, you know, kind of thing. That's a joke, kind of. But you don't necessarily, that doesn't make it true or untrue. That's what today, in the world of what we call postmodernism, the idea of postmodernism, if you hear that, is if you believe it, that's good for you. And the generation, my generation and beyond, live in that. What's fine for you is fine, and what's fine for me is fine. But listen, just because I believe in something doesn't make it true. They're just as in error as they ever were. They just think everything's fine, that there's no absolute, and what you believe is fine. Okay? That's not true. If God says it, it makes it true. He's the source of truth, okay? It doesn't make it true. It is true. Let's put it that way. Believing in something God has not promised is erroneous, dangerous, and worthless. Like believing in thin ice. That you can walk on thin ice. Now, the first one is God's promise. God's promise or claim. The second has to do with Abraham and therefore us. I call it the persuasion or acceptance. We used the word up there once. And I used, what did I write? I changed it. Okay, I did still. Confidence. I can't think and write at the same time. Confidence. In the New King James, it says being fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised he's able also to perform. The King James is even better because it alliterates it. They all start with P, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he's able also to perform. Okay? But the idea that he was persuaded, it's God's claim and our confidence in that claim. Now there's two parts to that. I list verb and noun forms of how that's used. You know, the word fully convinced or persuaded. There's two parts there. One is God's power, and I'll just put it up here, okay? The confidence is God's power, and that has to do with His ability. We believe that He can do what He says. Okay? Is that in your notes too? I guess I've italicized it. God can do what He says. Having belief in God or faith in God is that we believe He can do what He says He can do. That makes sense so far, right? Back to politicians. Most politicians can do, at least to some degree, what they say they will do. The hard part is that they go to Congress or whatever and don't. Okay? That leads us to the second part. God's performance, and I call this reliability, right? Isn't that the other part? He can do it, and He will do it. Got it? Our faith in God, our belief in God for salvation is what God says, I believe it. And He will follow through. Okay, I'm fully convinced that God will keep His promises. He can and will keep His promises. Another way to say that. Okay? Questions or comments to this point? Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, what God had promised, He was able also to perform. And therefore, the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness. The salvation transaction happened. Did Abraham do anything to earn this? No. He simply believed what God said as being true. God, I believe You will keep Your promises. God, I believe you can and will keep your promises. That's the essence of belief. And that affects our salvation. Right? We believe that who Jesus is and what He's done. God says He's our sin bearer. We believe that. The Bible says we're saved. But it also affects our sanctification because our walk, Pastor Jim's teaching on living by faith, not just becoming alive by faith, but living by faith has to do with believing what God has promised. And the results of that. That's why we live differently now than much of the world does. Why? Because we believe there's more after this. And the Bible says, Jesus commands to don't fear man who can kill the body. Fear God who can kill both body and soul in hell. Okay? There's something beyond this life. Questions or comments? Yeah. He attacked God's integrity, actually. That God didn't, you know, his motives, and he's just trying to keep you from something good.
And I acted on that by partaking of that which was forbidden. I
would say Eve acted on that.
Pardon me?
I would say Eve acted on that. I don't believe Adam believed that. He just acted anyway. Yeah. But still, he attacked what God said. All right? Now, the next six little bullets here, biblical faith or belief then is just putting it six different ways. Okay, let's summarize this. Let's put it in a nutshell. Let's put it simply, and you could add the one I've been saying here. But biblical faith is believing that God can and will keep His promises. That's one way to say it, okay? But here's six other ways to say it, okay? Biblical faith or belief then is being completely convinced that God can and will do what He has promised. The Bible says, Jesus states this, it comes out of His mouth, "For God so loved the world," do you believe that or not, "that He gave His only begotten Son," do you believe that or not, "that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's what God claims. The issue is not, can you quote the verse? The issue is, do you believe the verse? Right? Bullet number two. Biblical faith or belief then is, another way to say it, being fully confident that God can and will keep His word. The third bullet, biblical faith or belief is believing in what God has said He can and will do. Yeah, absolutely. If God says it, it doesn't matter if the world votes against it, if He doesn't rate high in the polls, it doesn't change a thing. God's truth does not require our affirmation to be truth. Okay? It's just our privilege and responsibility to accept God and what He has revealed. And God is the one who created the universe. He is the source of truth. He doesn't need our vote. God doesn't need our vote. God doesn't need us to fight for Him in that way, because the truth, guess what? It's just, I think we've used the term gravity. If you don't believe in gravity, you're welcome to not believe in gravity. But it doesn't change gravity. Same thing with God's truth. You can choose not to believe in God. It doesn't make it that there's no God. It doesn't change, either there is or isn't, but it doesn't change anything by the fact that you believe it or not. Okay? Fourth bullet, I take God at His word. There's another way to say biblical faith. I take God at His word. What He says, I believe it. The fifth bullet. I believe that God will do what He has promised. And that implies, too, that He can already. I believe that God will do what He has promised. And another way I've summarized it, and maybe this is oversimplified, but I like this phrase here, is accepting God's claims as true. Or you might say as truthful. That what God has said is true, and therefore I believe it because it's true. Okay? So different ways to say the same thing. Questions or comments? This ties in again. Okay, what is accurate? Well, our accuracy must be rooted, must be built upon what the Bible teaches. When we get in 3 weeks, I think it'll be, why is there so much confusion? There's two main points. One is confusion over all the Bible terms. That's point number one. We spend a page on that. Then we flip it over. And number two is poor Bible study habits. And then we look at like 9 different points there. But the bottom line is, if you understand what the Bible teaches, if you just grab onto this, the other stuff, you'll be able to discern what's right and wrong. Years ago, they used to do that with counterfeit bills. You used to memorize the bills that were accurate so that when a counterfeit bill came along, you could notice, this is not the same. That's all you need. You don't need to know all the wrong views. You just have to know what the Bible teaches. And then hold on to that, okay? That's the key. And it'll help you in your own assurance of salvation, that as people try to add different things, that you should feel this way, you should do this, you could say, no, Abraham believed God and it was accounted for righteousness. No, the Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? So then you understand that, well, there's other passages that they sound kind of confusing. Well, what does the Bible clearly say? And you know that even if it's he that endures to the end shall be saved, well, that must have another meaning. Okay? Because the Bible clearly talks, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteous. That's all he had to do. All right? Next week we're going to talk a little more. We're actually going to get into Luke 17 where Jim was last week with regard to a little more idea on faith. What does faith look like, okay? Qualitative and quantitative, Jim. So, any others? Does this help? Years ago, I started studying this and teaching this. No kidding, I wrestled with my assurance of salvation when I was in junior high school. Early into the military, I was wrestling with it. I was one of those that, well, I better get saved because I didn't know for sure I'd be saved, you know, all this. And then you got people that are multiple baptized people because they weren't sure. So if you weren't sure, then you got to be rebaptized because, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's mostly because it's inaccurate teaching. It's people that know or handle the Word of God, that handle it poorly and repeat things that they've heard before, rather than verifying what is true or not. Because the Bible is actually very clear. It's extremely clear, and there's all kinds of clear verses that you can go to. It's not an issue of the Bible being confusing, it's an issue of other people being confusing and trying to help by confusing it further. So, all right? Next week, I think we're going to talk about faith. Like, when does it actually happen? We're going to chew on a couple things that are normally embraced but I think are wrong, just to help clarify things a little more. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. And, Lord, we mean that. We pray, Lord, that we'd embrace Your Word and help us not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Lord, help us to understand what the Word of God says and to hold fast to that. And Lord, help others to wade through all of the confusion that has come from poor Bible studies or even just, Lord, the translation process that can kind of confuse us by using different words for the same Greek word. And I just thank You for the salvation we have, and I thank You that it can only come through the finished work of Christ. That's the only way we can be saved. We just praise you for the Lord Jesus and thank you for His great salvation that He's provided through His substitutionary death and resurrection. In His name we pray. Amen.